Shreyo,
Shreyo,
Gyanam,
Abhyasad,
Gyanad,
Gyanam,
Vishishyate,
Gyanat,
Karma,
Pala,
Pyagas,
Pyagach,
Chantir, Anantaram, Shreyo hi Gyanam Abhyasad, Gyanat Gyanam Vishishyate, Gyanat Karma Pala Tyagas, Tyagach Chantir Anantaram, Shreyo hi Gyanam Abhyasad, Gyanat Gyanam Vishishyate, Gyanat Karma Pala Tyagas, Tyagach Chantir Anantaram, Shreyo hi Gyanam Abhyasaj, Gyanat Gyanam Vishishyate, Gyanat Karma Palatyagas, Tyagach Chantir Anantaram. Shreyo hi Gyanam Abhyasaj,
Gyanat
Gyanam Vishishyate,
Gyanat
Karma Palatyagas, Tyagach Chantir Anantaram.
Shreyo
hi Gyanam Abhyasaj,
Gyanat Gyanam Vishishyate,
Gyanat Gyanam Vishishyate,
Gyanat Karma Palatyagas,
Gyanat Karma Palatyagas,
Tyagachantir Anantaram,
Tyagachantir Anantaram. Give it a go. Shreyo hi Gyanam Abhyasaj, Gyanat Gyanam Vishishyate, Gyanat Karma Palatyagas, Tyagat Chantir Anantaram. Shreyaha, better.
Better.
He certainly.
Gyanam,
knowledge.
Abhyasat,
then practice.
Gyanat,
then knowledge.
Gyanam,
meditation.
Vishishyate,
is considered better.
Gyanat,
then meditation.
Karma
pala tyagaha,
renunciation.
Of the results of fruitive action.
Tyagat,
by such renunciation.
Shantihi,
peace.
Anantaram,
thereafter. If you cannot take to this process, practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation. Better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. Purport. As mentioned in the previous verses, There are two kinds of devotional service, the way of regulative principles and the way of full attachment in love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For those who are actually not able to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, it is better to cultivate knowledge, because by knowledge one can be able to understand his real position. Gradually, knowledge will develop to the point of meditation. By meditation, one can be able to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by a gradual process. In the cultivation of knowledge, there are processes which make one understand that one himself is the Supreme. And that sort of meditation is preferred if one is unable to engage in devotional service. If one is not able to meditate in such a way, then there are prescribed duties as enjoined in the Vedic literature for the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, which we shall find in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita. But in all cases, one should give up the result or fruits of labor. This means to employ the result of karma for some good cause. Om Agyanati Miram Dhasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Dena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadhati Shapadhavdikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapadakamamam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Gopatarubhyascha Kripasindho Pyaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Hari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There's a hierarchy here of ways to act. At the top is just to love Krishna, to serve Krishna out of spontaneous love and devotion. That's the best. That's the best. That's called, yes, spontaneous bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. But then, suppose we're not on that platform. We're spontaneously interested in sense gratification, spontaneously interested in so many other things than Krishna, but not automatically eager to serve Krishna in all respects. In Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, that's their mentality. They just are absorbed in thinking of Krishna, speaking of Krishna, serving Krishna, everything Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. No rules, no regulations. Prabhupada gives the example, the acharyas give the example, just as a young boy loves a young girl, or a young girl loves a young boy. They don't have to go to school to learn how to be attracted to one another. It's spontaneous, automatic. So that's the standard of real Krishna consciousness, to be attracted to Krishna that same way. But suppose we're not on that level. You can say that's an exalted level. Then there's the next path, which is to follow rules and regulations. There are some principles which, when followed, will help us come to that platform, to hear about Krishna regularly, to attend the class and hear some subject matter related to Krishna, to take part in the kirtan and chant, to associate with devotees, to read these books concerning Krishna consciousness. There are various activities which will help us. So Krishna says, if you're not spontaneously attracted, or if you're not on the spontaneous level of pure love, then follow these regulative principles, and you'll develop that desire gradually. So that's recommended. Or someone says, well, I can't do that. Then there's gradually, all right, then do this, then do this, then do this. It's not all or nothing. It's not surrender or die. There's some alternatives. Even a person who can hardly do anything. All right, then give your energy for some good cause, at least. Well, that's not very high up on the ladder. Better to give your energy for Krishna consciousness. But if you can't even do that, well, then at least be good. Be good. But the... Yes. There's meditation to understand that one is himself the Supreme, is called Ahangrahopasana. And it involves meditation on oneself, by which one comes to understand that I'm not this body. I'm the soul within the body. The soul is also called Brahma. And the absolute truth is called Brahma. So, aham brahmasmi, I can meditate that I'm that absolute truth. And that's partly true, because in quality I'm one with the Supreme. Supreme is eternal, I'm eternal. Supreme has knowledge, I have knowledge. Supreme is by nature blissful, I'm by nature blissful. So I have oneness with the Supreme in quality. The only difference is in quantity. Krishna is great and we're very small. But by meditating on that oneness, where we can make some sort of progress. It's not the most recommended process, but all right, rather than meditating on sense gratification, turn your attention inward and meditate that I'm also that. I'm also identical with that Supreme. In other words, look inward and discover your spiritual nature, and gradually identify yourself with that spiritual self within and not with the material body. Identify yourself with Krishna, not in the sense of being Krishna, but in the sense of being of the same nature as Krishna, of the same eternal nature as Krishna. In summary, to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the highest goal, there are two processes. One process is by gradual development, and the other process is direct. Devotional service and Krishna consciousness is the direct method, and the other method involves renouncing the fruits of one's activities. Then one can come to the stage of knowledge, then to the stage of meditation, then to the stage of understanding the Supersoul, then to the stage of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Renouncing the fruits of activities is recommended in many places in the Bhagavad Gita, karma phala tyag. because now I'm working with attachment to what I get from the work. Sangat, what is that in the Bhagavad Gita? Ayukta kama karena pale sakto nibhadyate. The person who's not Krishna conscious becomes entangled with what he gets from his work. He's attached to that instead of being attached to Krishna. And therefore he's always in anxiety and illusion. But the person who gives up the fruits of his work, shantim apnoti naishtakim, he becomes peaceful because he identifies himself with an eternal reality and not with what I can get, what I can get. Or he identifies himself as a servant of Krishna. One may take either the step-by-step process or the direct path. The direct process is not possible for everyone. Therefore, the indirect process is also good. It is, however, to be understood that the indirect process is not recommended for Arjuna because he's already at the stage of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. It is for others who are not at this stage. For them, the gradual process of renunciation, knowledge, meditation, and realization of the Supersoul and Brahma should be followed. But as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, it is the direct method that is stressed. Everyone is advised to take to the direct method and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. There's Srila Prabhupada's conclusion. Sarvadharma and Pratyajya Mame Kamshanam. Just surrender to Krishna, and that will make one's life successful. Rather than going through some gradual, step-by-step process, better to take to devotional service, either spontaneously, if one has that good fortune, or by following regular principles. To regulate one's life, mold one's life in such a way that everything is connected with Krishna, everything follows a pattern of devotional service for Krishna. There's, in the regulative path, there's a program of engagement in Krishna's service, beginning from early in the morning and going all the way to the evening. There are all sorts of activities to engage us. Or, even when we have other activities that we're obliged to perform, we can learn to perform them in such a way that we'll remember Krishna. That's the purpose. There are so many rules and regulations. It's said that there are two rules that are the essence of all of them. Smartavyam satadam Vishnu, vismartavyam najatu chet. Positively, always to remember Krishna, and negatively, never to forget Krishna. Sarvavidhi nisheda syu, etior evaking kuran. All the other rules and regulations are just servants of these two principles. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. For that we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And associating with devotees, trying to get good guidance in the science of Krishna consciousness so that we can make progress and gradually attain the perfection of being always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Okay, what questions? If any.
So starting with what you said was maybe the first step, taking the regulations path, meditating on inward, on not the bottom, and finding the oneness with Krishna. After that step, what would be the next step you'd say after
Well, the next thing is to, after recognizing the oneness that we have with Krishna, is to recognize the difference also. That I'm one with Krishna, but at the same time, I'm different from Krishna because Krishna is great and I'm small. Krishna is the supreme whole and I'm a tiny part. And then the next thing is action. If I'm a part of Krishna, what do I do? What do I do? Just like a hand is part of the body, so what should it do? It should serve the whole body. If it gets some food, it should put it in the stomach. Not think, well, I'm part of the body, so I'll just hold on to it in the palm. One part's as good as any other part. I have to give it to the stomach. Or if there's a tree, I have to pour water on the root of the tree, not on all the little leaves and branches, then it won't grow. So in the same way, I should think that I'm part of Krishna, then I should serve Krishna. That's the conclusion. That's the conclusion. Then it's action. Just theoretical knowledge. I'm spirit. I'm part of the universe. I'm part of God. That's good. Now what do I do? I have to do something. Otherwise it just remains theoretical. If this house were on fire, for me to sit here and say, temperature has increased by 40 degrees and there are manifestations of yellow and red flames that are gradually spreading throughout the house. This indicates that within a short time the house is likely to burn down and therefore I'm going to die. That's fine, but now I have to act.
Run.
Run. Grab the fire extinguisher. If it's too late, just get out. Theoretical knowledge alone is not sufficient. So after understanding that I'm spirit, that I'm a spiritual being, that I'm part and parcel of Krishna, then I should act as a spiritual being. So what is the activity of a spiritual being? It's to serve the supreme spiritual being. Is that okay?
I have a question. Verses like these that kind of talk about different things like knowledge and meditation in a very general sense, and I'm not exactly sure what it means to, if you can't practice the regular principles, then cultivate knowledge. What is that knowledge separate from Krishna consciousness that should be called?
Not separate, but we were saying that from knowledge comes action. So if you're not at the point of action yet, then cultivate knowledge. Because by knowledge, you'll come to the point of action. Knowledge will come to the point of action.
It says then, by knowledge, then...
So Krishna says, Gyanavan, bahunam janmanam ante, Gyanavan man prapadyate. After many, many births of cultivating knowledge, one comes to the conclusion of knowledge. Vasudeva sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. Then he surrenders to Krishna. Prapadyate.
And when it says in the purport that gradually knowledge will develop to the point of meditation, what is that? Meditation?
I'm not even sure. Now, Prabhupada wrote me a letter about that. The essence, you can get my laptop up, you can find that. The essence of it was, don't worry too much about the hierarchy. Just be... understand that the conclusion is Krishna consciousness. That was the essence of what he told me, but maybe we'll find the letter and see precisely what he said.
I guess I feel like that a lot in Bhagavad Gita. Anything that's not related with Bhakti Yoga kind of gets referenced in very general, abstruse terms. Kind of like...
Yeah, Prabhupada doesn't want us to be distracted by other things. Now... Oh, I see, that's true. That's curious and bizarre. So. Okay. Regarding your questions, this is a letter from 17 March 1971. 12:12. The ultimate point is to come to the stage of loving Krishna, and all other indirect processes are subsidiary. We are concerned here with approaching Krishna by the direct process of devotional service. Independent of Krishna consciousness, the cultivation of knowledge, work, meditation, and renunciation are of no value, or the proud achievements of the atheist or less intelligent class of men. In this connection, the term knowledge is mental speculative theorizing up to the stage of Brahmagyan, or impersonal conception of the absolute truth. What we were talking about, essentially. Especially such knowledge as it is concerned with various views of the causal and effective material phenomena is of no importance in the matter of spiritual realization or God consciousness, which is transcendental to the realm of sensual, mental, and intellectual activities. For those who are speculating about how the material nature is working and cause and effect and chicken and egg and all of that. So the order of supersession of these various indirect processes for approaching the absolute truth is not as much important as fixed understanding of the exalted position of devotional service rendered directly to Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's talking about the knowledge is the mental speculation that leads to more or less impersonal meditation,
mm-hmm.
kind of a roundabout path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You speculate, you develop knowledge, then you meditate. But finally, you have to come to the conclusion of surrendering to Krishna. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. Shamevihi kevalam. All of these things are meant to lead to Krishna consciousness. And if I can go directly to Krishna consciousness, then I don't have to waste my time with all of this indirect tiptoeing. Prabhupada gave the example that if there's a stairway and an elevator, then why go by the step by step by step by step, you have to go up like 80 floors or something. Take the elevator. Mm-hmm.
In this vein, then, for ourselves, then we want to strive for the most direct path.
Mm-hmm.
But on this basis, can we appreciate and respect people who are pursuing knowledge, speculation as pursuing a PhD in physics or something, or someone who's studying Advaita Vedanta. Is this a basis on which we can respect and appreciate them, even if we don't?
Well, we should try to respect everyone and appreciate everyone, but we can appreciate that those who are simply studying physics or simply studying Advaita Vedanta are largely wasting their time. I can spend my whole life in physics and at the end be no closer to understanding who I am, what the purpose of life is. Or I can speculate about Advaita Vedanta for lifetimes and still not make very much progress toward the goal of serving Krishna. So we can appreciate at the same time. Nuclear physics or any kind of physics means he's developed his intelligence. He must be a very intelligent person to be able to do all of those equations and all of that keep all those theories in his head. But at the same time, we may feel a little sorry that they're not going further, that they're missing the spiritual dimension. They're missing the spiritual dimension. They're just absorbed in matter and how it works, and they're missing what's above matter or what's activating matter. So we can appreciate on the one hand, and on the other hand, feel sympathy that they have to go further to get something. And the Advaita Vedantists, we can appreciate all their interested in spiritual life, they're dedicating themselves to spiritual understanding, but they're missing the personality of God. So we can, it's said that the exalted, the Paramhansas, feel sympathy for the materialists who are pitied by the pitiable. What does that mean? The impersonalists who've identified themselves with the spiritual truth feel sorry for the materialists who are absorbed in the material energy. And the devotees, or Paramhansas, they feel sorry for the impersonalists because they're missing personal engagement in the devotional service of Krishna. So therefore the materialists are pitiable by the pitiable, Bhagavatam says. But yes, we can appreciate that everyone has some good. And to try to engage, like Prabhupada would see that here's someone who has some capability in physics or in hammering nails or in any department of activity, and see how could that be engaged, how can that be connected with Krishna. Is that okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What else?
No, I was just reading the section I was talking about, pitied by the pitiable, and I like it, so it's fine.
Third canto, right?
Third canto, fifth chapter.
I'm sorry, at the end there, I was attentive, but I just panicked thinking that my ringer was still on my phone. The ring on my phone, I realized that it might be on, so I was paying attention to you, but I was making sure that it was off.
Okay. I figured there was something important in that.
Not interrupting you. And I was sitting there quietly deliberating, like, oh gosh, what if it went off right now? That would be so bad.
So usually I remind people in the beginning. Today I missed a beat. What else might be bubbling up in your mind?
So we're constantly moving. We're constantly doing things. And I have the assumption that Krishna consciousness is relating Krishna to every action that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're constantly moving and Krishna is giving us the ability to move, is there a step to realizing that Krishna is helping us move like this or in a certain way?
Yes. In one sense, whatever moves anyone is making are possible only because of Krishna. The materialist who's writing a book promoting atheism is only able to do that because Krishna's helping him, giving him the physical strength and the confused intelligence and everything else that he needs to do that. But Krishna consciousness means how to take direction from Krishna so that I'll move in such a way that I'll please Krishna and I'll make spiritual progress. Therefore, one takes direction from books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and takes direction from a bona fide spiritual master. One takes direction from advanced devotees. What should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? Now there's direction. Just like we're giving direction. No intoxicants. No meat eating. No gambling. No illicit sex. Your fellow students are all moving toward those things. But when we get direction from Krishna, no, don't move that way. Move this way. Chant Hare Krishna. Take prasadam. Be engaged in spiritual activities, or even connect those the material activities with my service. So the spiritual master of the scriptures and the saintly persons are all directing us. And the serious practitioner is looking for that direction. What now? How should I best act to make progress? Is that okay?
And one more question.
Mm-hmm.
My mind tends to wander a lot. And
tell me about it.
And it's said that we should always fix our mind on Krishna.
Mm.
Is that even our imagination, or is that, like, how should we think of Krishna?
Yeah, we don't need to imagine, because the description is there. So much is there in Vedic knowledge about Krishna that we don't have to invent something or imagine something. We can just remember what's there. Just, you read the newspaper and then for the next 3 hours you're thinking about the news. You know, are we going to invade Syria? Is this company going to buy that company? And it's not just by imagination that there's Syria, that there's Obama, that there's this company and that company. These things are there, and we read the descriptions by the informed journalists or the expert analysts, and we get some idea about what's going on in these places. Or George Washington is there, we know he's the founder of the country. But then you read a careful biography of George Washington and learn more than, you know, I cannot tell a lie, I chopped down the cherry tree. You start to get, a clearer picture. And then you can think about that he did this and he did that, and he didn't do this, that's just a folktale. And he was tall and he wore this kind of clothing, and, you know, there are biographies that'll tell you what kind of buttons a man wore, you know. So when you get that factual information, then you can think about it. It's actually, we imagine when we don't know. You know, I wonder what this person is like. You know, anyone you haven't met. Then after you meet the person, or after you read all about the person, then you're not imagining anymore. Now the imagination is replaced by factual knowledge. So in Krishna consciousness, we're supplied with factual knowledge about Krishna, Krishna's energies, Krishna's incarnations, Krishna's form, his qualities, his pastimes, his abode. And we can think about all those things not by imagination, but by focusing on factual information that we've received. So it's better than imagination.
Yeah, that's a question that's kind of just out of the blue.
Go ahead.
I was wondering what the difference is between, we hear that Prabhupada wanted to create Brahmins in the West, means people who are Brahminical inclined. What's the difference between someone who's second born and a Brahmin? Meaning, you know, the Varna as opposed to just a Vaishya who's second initiated, or a Kshatriya who's second initiated. Because we have so many devotees who are Brahmin.
In one sense, these things are formal. Our goal is to create devotees of Krishna, to revive people's Krishna consciousness. And in that connection, to bring people to the higher mode of life. Then externally, he may be engaged in some particular kind of work, intellectual work or administrative work or military work or farm work or general assistance. But actually, he's on the higher platform because he's better than a Brahmin. He's Vaishnav or devotee of Krishna. But externally, he may be engaged according to some particular kind of work. He may be a farmer, for example. So that has a certain, you know, what do I do if I'm a farmer? Well, I take care of the land, I take care of the animals, I offer everything to for Krishna's pleasure. And someone else, he's, you know, in government, so he has to see to law and order, he has to see to this and that. Someone else is a scholar, he has to translate, or he has to edit, or he has to teach. So these are superficially different kinds of work, but spiritually, they're all the same work, devotional service to Krishna.
So in our society, varnas aren't of great import, but even in Vedic
culture, it's important. Everybody should have his particular work.
But I mean, it's not of ultimate importance.
No, not ultimate.
Engaged in Krishna consciousness means you're past the varnas, you're already beyond Brahman.
Yes.
But in traditional Vedic culture, Krishna consciousness aside, just as far as mundane Kaitava Dharma, they have Vaishyas and Kshatriyas who take second initiation. And then they're called Brahman initiates.
No.
Oh, they're not? That's not...
They're called Dvija.
Dvija. And
this Brahman initiation is sort of a modern term. They're called Dvijas, twice born or second initiated. So that second initiation is available to Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, Brahmins.
So when we call our second initiation Brahman initiation,
yeah,
that's something totally different.
It's a you can say...
Even our Shudras are can apply.
Yeah. Yeah, the...
That makes sense. Thank you. Yeah, that was... Actually, it popped into my head in Bhakti Raghav Maharaj's class in L.A. Because he was saying how the varnas accordingly can take different ashrams. If you're a Brahmin, you can go all the way up to sannyas. If you're a Kshatriya, you only go up to vanaprastha, these different things. I was thinking, you know, how is that going to work in our society?
Yeah.
You know?
As things expand, we may find these things there. The varnashram is meant to help Krishna consciousness. So it organizes people's lives, their occupational life and their social life in such a way that it will help Krishna consciousness. But it's not an absolute gridlock. It's a framework for helping. It's not a cage for confining.
But that does kind of spur another question, is that because when you take to Krishna consciousness, you're beyond the constriction, the confinement of a particular varna, you're better than a Brahmin being Krishna conscious, then can one who is shudrally inclined still take sannyas within our society? Is that...
But he won't.
He won't.
No. Person who's inclined toward teaching and instruct, he'll take sannyas. And a person who's just wants to assist others in simple whatever work it is, he won't take sannyas because he'll think, what's it going to do for me? Why should I take sannyas?
Then a kshatriya, there might be some value.
Yeah, kshatriya, again, he may renounce. Previously, the Kshatriyas used to go to the forest and they'd do more austerity than our modern sannyasis.
Yeah.
So, there. Actually, from any level. Anyone. Haridas Thakur was below any of these designations, but he became Namacharya, the principal agent for spreading the holy name of Krishna. So ultimately, any of these varnas can be surpassed when one comes to the Krishna conscious platform. But in general, these divisions will help us organize. even in ordinary affairs, temple, if you're organizing a temple, you'll see this person's good for building stuff.
Yeah.
This person should be the treasurer or the fundraiser. This person should be teaching classes or worshiping the deity. You'll see there's different people. If you put the wrong person in the wrong spot, you know, you put the fundraiser in the deity worship department, he's, you know, he's just thinking, how can this deity worship generate money?
Yeah. We see a lot of those.
And if you put the deity worshiper in the money department, then he's all in for teaching and instructing, but no money comes in.
Yeah. And so any that does goes to the deity worship.
Yeah. So you have to see that the right people are in the right place. Something else?
Mm-hmm. I want to ask something about the question that Nico had asked earlier about imagination.
Mm.
This might just have to do with definitions of English language, but when I hear the word imagination, I think of that as visualizing images in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you seem to be using it more as kind of fantasizing things that are not real.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how you better would describe.
Yeah, that's what I had in mind, but it's sort of imaging something. Is not bad. Just like we have our artists, that's their job. You know, they'll read some words and says Krishna's dancing with the gopis and they're dressed like this and their moon is like this and the atmosphere is like that. And they're reading all these things and they're, because they're visual people, they're putting it into images. You know, some people think in words, some people think in images more. So they're putting it into images. And you get a painting like that, where it's not imagination. Krishna actually is blue, he actually does wear a peacock feather, he actually was expanding himself so that between each two girls there was a Krishna, each girl thought Krishna is with me. The girls were dressed this way, it was evening, the sunset was like that, there was a full moon. So none of this is just, well, I think a full moon would be good. Or, why don't we put a peacock feather on Krishna? Someone else thinks, no, I think an ostrich feather or something. And, you know, let's have Krishna with a yellow dress. No, let's have Krishna with a pink dress. No, it's all there. It's all described in the Vedic literature. So it's not imagination, but they're imaging what's described there. So that's appreciated. We're getting the picture. Prabhupada said that the pictures are even more important than the text. Sometimes he said that.
Prabhupada said that the pictures are more important than the text.
Sometimes he said that. You know, pictures worth a thousand words.
Windows in the spiritual world?
No.
Something like that.
He also said one time he saw the diorama of Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot. He said that the horses were more important than Krishna. Because they're devotees. The Prabhupada said these counterintuitive things. Mm-hmm. Something else?
Was it you that once told a story about Jadarani's painting of Krishna with a garland and Radharani?
I don't know if I told it, but I was there.
Could you tell that one? I like that story.
There was a painting, our artist Jadarani did a painting of Radha and Krishna, and let's see, how did it go? That Radharani has the garland.
Krishna has the garland, and Radharani is turning, her face is away from Krishna.
Ah, right. And then Prabhupada criticized that, why is Radharani turning away from Krishna? That, you know, what is this? So then Jadarani was disappointed that, you know, her painting was not, you know, she painted it in a way that Prabhupada didn't appreciate. Then Prabhupada thought about it. The next day he said, actually, Krishna has said to Radharani that there's this nice girl, Jadarani, you should give her a garland.
Well, I think when I heard you mention this, Prabhupada said that it looks like she's looking for some paramour. What is this? It looks like Radharani's looking for some paramour.
Yeah, maybe Prabhupada said that also. Looking for someone else.
I mean, that's devastating. For
yeah.
Artists who took so much time to.
He had so much time to do the painting, and then Prabhupada's not happy with it. Give her a garland. Anything else?
Do a little more kirtan?
Yeah, we can do a little more kirtan.